that are not mentioned. Babylon is not mentioned, which is modern Iraq. Egypt is not mentioned. Libya, which is all the land in the Bible west of Egypt, is mentioned. And Ethiopia, all the land south of Egypt, is mentioned. But Egypt is not mentioned. The Syrians are not mentioned. Moab is not mentioned. Ammon is not mentioned. And the reason is there's a battle prior to Ezekiel 38 and 39. And I believe that that's the battle we're looking at right now. It's developing right before our very eyes. Do you follow me on this? And that's why the day of the Lord is so close, because this battle is going to have a domino effect. It's going to involve all of Islam. Entire nations are going to disappear. Like I just showed you from scriptures, Egypt is going, Iraq is going, Jordan's going. And what the Lord's going to do when the dust settles from this first battle, I call it in my book, The Ring of Fire Around Israel. I'm sorry I don't have my map here, but if you look at Israel, Egypt is over here. It's going to be completely destroyed. Edom, Ammon, and Moab are destroyed. Egypt, Syria is there, but it's devastated. And Babylon over here is destroyed. So there's this ring around Israel. And the only way to get at Israel is from the north. And that's where the mountains of Israel are. And I wondered for years. I said, Lord, why is this army going to be destroyed on the mountains of Israel? Why is Armageddon going to take place up there where Megiddo is in the Valley of Jezreel and that? Why? Why isn't like Israel completely surrounded and the armies are coming from the south and from the east and from the north? And the reason is God, in the first war, he sets Israel up as a gigantic killing field. And the armies are funneled. They have to come from the north and they get funneled right down to the northern part of Israel where the mountains of Israel are. And that's what God destroys them. Isn't that amazing? I shared this once. I was speaking in Colorado Springs, right across from the North American Air Command there. It's in a mountain in Colorado. In fact, you could look out from the front of the hotel and see the entrance in a mountain there. I think it's called Cheyenne Mountain. And I didn't know who the man was because he wasn't dressed in a uniform, but he was a general in planning. And when I gave the talk, when I finished the talk, and like I gave now, he came up to me and he said, not that I gave it, but the way it's laid out in scriptures, he goes, that's absolutely brilliant military strategy, because that's what we do with an overwhelming army. He said, what we would do is we'd set up kill zones, like with the Soviets, because they had such tremendous firepower compared to us, and we'd funnel their army into one area where we then could systematically destroy it. And he said, that's the military strategy that the Lord has set up here. Isn't that amazing? So all these nations and their unbelief and they're coming to destroy Israel, and you'll see that led by Russia. The resurgence of Russia is not occurring at everything we see now is not by accident. This is Russia's getting ready for its destiny to be destroyed on the mountains of Israel. So I believe that this war now, and Iran's function in the war, Iran is not going to be destroyed in this upcoming war, but its ability to destroy Israel will be destroyed. Iran will not be able to nuke Israel. Iran will not be able to rain down missiles with weapons of mass destruction, because Israel is going to survive. Iran is going to be destroyed in the second war, Ezekiel 38 and 39. So Iran is going to, I have no doubt Iran is going to be attacked in this war, and its nuclear capabilities are going to be taken out. So what we're looking at now, and Israel has made it crystal clear that they're going to attack Iran. There's no doubt about it. I think that this is going to start a domino effect. When Israel attacks Iran, Iran wants to be the world player for Islam. I'll briefly explain the difference between Shiite Islam and Sunni Islam. Sunni Islam, which is the vast majority of the Muslims, probably about 90%, they believe that their leaders of them come from what's called Muhammad's companions, his thugs that he rode with, his lieutenants and generals and all that. The Shiites believe that the authority for Islam came through Muhammad's family, his descendants. And that's the real difference between the Sunnis and the Shiites. The Iranians are Shiites, and they had horrific wars, 700, 800s. They had horrific civil wars in Islam where all sorts were killed and they had assassinations and all. And it boiled down to Shiite Islam staying in Iran and Sunni Islam kind of spreading all through the world. But Iran, if you understand what's going on now, Iran wants to be the major player in Islam. It wants sort of like all of Islam to convert to be Shiite. It wants to lead Islam. And Ahmadinejad and the Ayatollahs, there are no Ayatollahs in Sunni. Ayatollahs are limited to Shiites. And Ayatollahs are just below like prophets. They won't say they're prophets because Muhammad's the last prophet. But they believe that this war coming up, they want the war. See, there's no way to negotiate with Iran because it's like trying to negotiate with Hitler. I mean, Hitler would negotiate with you to get an advantage. And when all the advantage was up, then he was going to go to war because he had an agenda. He wanted world conquest. He wanted to advance Aryanism and bring the world under his control. Well, Iran's the same way. Iran will negotiate with anyone to gain a tactical advantage, but Iran believes, and Ahmadinejad, as far as I'm concerned, is just a puppet for the political puppet for the Ayatollahs, and they believe that the Mahdi is coming. And I won't get into it again. I go into pretty good detail in my book about the Mahdi, but the Mahdi, in a nutshell, without getting too much detail, is going to lead Islam into world conquest. And they're when Ahmadinejad goes to the UN and he talks about justice and peace, that's not what we think about justice and peace. In Mahdiism, under Shiite Islam, justice is when the Mahdi has conquered the whole world and he's killed all the Jews and Christians who won't submit to Islam, to the Mahdi. That's when he stood before my jaw dropped when I listened to him in front of the UN, and he was praying he's praying for the Mahdi to come, and then he said that there'll be justice and peace throughout the world. And everybody's there clapping him and clapping him. Justice and peace is when Islam has conquered the world, specifically Shiite Islam, and if you won't convert, your head is chopped off. The Jews, all the churches will be burnt down, and all the crosses will be burnt. All the Jews will be killed, and Islam rules the world. That's when there's justice and peace. That's what this man was talking about before the UN. It's impossible to negotiate with them. It's impossible. So we're locked into it. We're locked into this conflict. Israel knows exactly what he is. Israel knows exactly what he wants to do. Israel is not going to sit there and wait for him to develop nukes because they've already... the previous president of Iran, his name is Rafsanjani, he said as soon as we get nukes, we're going to use them against Israel. He said two nukes, Israel's gone. He said 75 million Iranians will be killed, and then 50 years we'll be back, and no one will remember Israel. That's their mentality. See, how do you get out of this? How do you negotiate your way out of this? You can't. We're locked into this confrontation now, and it's right on top of us. So what I believe is going to happen is a gigantic domino effect, because Iran is going to see this as an ability to advance its agenda. It'll probably attack Saudi Arabia, perhaps, to try and knock out their oil facilities to throw the Western economy out of kilt. It'll attack ships, our ships in the Gulf of the Persian Gulf. It'll spill into the war. If we're not involved with it directly, we'll be brought into it. Because Israel attacked Iran, the fundamentalist Muslims will immediately be on Iran's side. It's very possible the Jordanian government will be overthrown because the fundamentalists are just below controlling the Jordanian government, and they're very powerful in Egypt, and Egypt is really controlling it by force. It's not a stretch to think overnight the Egyptian government could be overthrown by Muslim fundamentalists. And what we're going to see is like an all-out war in that area against Israel. Hezbollah is ready to go. Hezbollah is a surrogate of Iran. Syria is ready to go. Hamas is ready to go. So I believe that the war that these nations that we described here, that there'll be no Palestinians left, that's Hamas. And then they're going to be driven off the land. Israel is going to survive. Hezbollah is going to be destroyed. Jordan is going to be up in ashes as with nuclear weapons are going to be used. I personally believe, this is my personal belief, that it looks like in this upcoming war, the Aswan Dam is going to be taken out with a nuclear weapon, and that's going to poison the Nile River, and that's why the Egyptians have to flee into all the world. I don't know if that's exactly what's going to happen, but I think it's a good, distinct possibility. Iraq somehow, and again, I don't know the exact domino effect in this, but Iraq is involved. There's a confrontation with us in Iraq, and the nation is turned into Sodom and Gomorrah. Not a pretty scene, is it? But this is what the world faces. And I want to qualify this. If Ahmadinejad and Hamas, Hezbollah, and them, if they said, we recognize the nation of Israel, we recognize that you have a covenant with the God of Israel, we're going to honor that covenant and we're going to bless you. Guess what? It'll all go away.